Thank you for listening to the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Podcast. We are grateful that you take the time to listen to these, and we hope you find them spiritually beneficial. As you can hear, these are recorded live during our Sunday morning worship service. We pray that God continue to bless you as He has blessed us. If you would like to contribute to this ministry, you can see more about that in the program notes. God bless.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Cletus. You can start turning your Bibles to Proverbs 31. We're going to take a break from Acts again. And if you're familiar with the addresses in your Bible, this is one that can be kind of intimidating for folks. Because it sets a very high standard. Like most of the scriptures, it sets a very high standard. And the reality is that it sets a high standard because they're pointing us to Jesus, who is the only one who met God's standard. And so, so we can come here with our insecurities. We can, you know, Mother's Day is kind of a mixed bag for some folks. You know, some folks, had good role model with a mom but some didn't. You know, maybe it was a grandma that filled that role. Maybe there was nobody in that regard, and kind of going into that without that memory. Or there's others on the flip side dealing with childlessness, and so Mother's Day is just another one of those three holidays you get to rub salt in a wound that you'd rather not have anyways. And it's that way. And so the reality is that it's easy to run away from some of these things. But instead, we're called to look into scriptures, that all scripture is given by God's breath and is profitable. And so we're not going to read the whole thing, because I really want us to focus in on the last few verses there, verses 25 through 31 of this description that God gives through His Spirit, through His Word, of a woman who is the virtuous, the valorous one. And so Proverbs 31, starting in verse 25, and if you are able, would you stand with me out of respect for God's Word? Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's pause for prayer. Father, we pause again because we need you. We need your Spirit to stir in this place, Lord. I need your Spirit to enable and to speak, Lord. Father, we need you. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. And so, Lord, we come seeking you. Lord, we lift up those that are not seeking you, that are lost and don't even know why they're restless and astray, that you would stir within them, that you would use us to bring them to you, for the peace that passes understanding and supersedes the circumstances. Ask you, Lord, through your Spirit to move in the children's chapel, and thank you for your servants who make that possible, and for the kids and the parents that bring them. And Lord, we just thank you for this sacred moment to be in your Word. We love you. We need you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our completer, the author and finisher of our faith, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Proverbs 31 kind of sticks out. The Proverbs are from Solomon, we're told. And yet the last two chapters are not from Solomon. It specifically says it's from someone else. We don't know who they are, but someone, Solomon perhaps, is the one that said, well, this is pretty good stuff, and included it as amongst his own. So not real sure who King Lemuel is, but we appreciate his mom for saying these things. And I bring that up because if you felt, you know, like man, this is almost feel attacking. This woman is so far up here. Well, blame Lemuel's mom because she's the one that said, this is who you should pay attention to. And in that, you can find, as you look through the scriptures, people who meet these women who, you think about Ruth. You know, that's one of Solomon's ancestors, David's great-grandmother or something, wasn't it? And she was a woman that her reputation, her virtue, her industry, how she cared and was compassionate for her mother-in-law that she did not have to be any of those things for, she stood out in the community. And so you can imagine Solomon thinking upon her as he wrote that. We see another example that we'll probably elaborate on later on, but one that God himself singled out as exemplary in virtue. And that's Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was picked out of all the virgins of Israel as this is the one who's going to be the mother of my son. You know, this is the one that's going to raise my son. And we see how she is steeped in the Word of God by Luke, a protege of the Apostle Paul, how he extensively quotes Mary there in the first chapter of his gospel. And so kind of lean into this here. It is helpful for us to look at. And guys, we're not off the hook. A lot of the virtues we're going to look at today, you're going to realize that's something that I'm supposed to be as well, right? To be full of virtue and purity, to be industrious, to be kind and compassionate and strong and provider. We're not off the hook on this one. So don't disengage your brain yet. All right. But let's, like I said, the first little bit there, a lot of it is talking about the practical things that she does. And a lot of it is cultural in our understanding. And while I mention culture, it's worth mentioning that what Solomon describes here is not the norm, not only for individuals, but even for his culture. Because you've probably heard somewhere along the way that, you know, in the ancient Near East, women didn't have all the opportunities. But this woman has opportunities beyond what was the norm for around Israel. So Israel was a beacon of difference in what men and women's roles were. She owns land. She's doing business on outside of the home. She deals with merchants. She is a businesswoman, an entrepreneur. It's pretty remarkable what she's doing just in these descriptions. But as we shift into verse 25, we start seeing the virtues that God really brings out. And we see there where it says, strength and honor are her clothing. He goes into strength. That strength of will, that strength of character. Not a pushover, not someone who is in the background. But you've seen, you know, people who are, they have perseverance. But in their perseverance, it is also honor. And in that culture, honor is very important. because the whole community lives together and looks at one another. And so you wanted to be someone who was honorable. And so that strength combined with that honor brings reputation to the family. It brings a reputation in the family that glorifies Christ, and in so doing, glorifies that family, that reputation. And he brings in something else. Because of that, then she shall rejoice in time to come. And that's a tough little Hebrew phrase to translate. But it's interesting to me because both ways really speak a lot. She shall rejoice in time to come. We know that life sometimes does bring suffering. It does bring tears. But she remembers that rejoicing will come in time, which is one way of translating that. That with the night, there will be a dawn, right? But then the other way of looking at that is that she will rejoice when looking at the time to come. Her joy is now because she has confidence in the future. And that really struck me. And some of your translations may bring that out. Because we, and rightfully so, praying for our country, praying for our times. It is a hard time. It's hard to feel optimistic about the future. But here, he is speaking of someone that by their strength and honor, they can laugh. They can have joy in what is to come. Is it because the bad is what makes them joyful? No, it's because they've got a little bit bigger perspective. What is to come? Heaven. A new heavens and a new earth. To keep our perspective on the things above and not us on the things that are here below. And so, because knowing that God is with us, will not leave us nor forsake us. So even if the world falls apart around us, like Habakkuk in his song, though the fig tree may not produce, though the cattle may not produce, though all the economy may collapse, I will rejoice in the Lord, the one who makes my footing sure when everything else is slippery, miry clay. That is what he's talking about here as well. And so, you know, one of the things that I always enjoyed was, and some of our old timers, they remember the Great Depression, the Dust Bowl. Especially, remember Brother David telling stories. He lived in Western Oklahoma in the Dust Bowl when the cracks in the ground were bottomless and those things. But he spoke of his family, his parents, guiding them through that time. Strength and honor. They had a reputation. And as such, he passed that on. Did he not? Strength and honor. And from that comes wisdom. Verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom. She is one who, well, as we're going to see in a minute, what is the beginning of wisdom? Fear of the Lord. Preach it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. To know and fear Him, to live in respect to His laws, in obedience. That's what is on her lips, is teaching the fear of the Lord, to teach wisdom. Is that through that perspective, through that enduring the hard times, there comes wisdom. Because wisdom, you can see in Proverbs, is both. There's some very practical instruction in the book of Proverbs. You know, I've had many a preacher tell me, you know, it's not coincidence that there's as many chapters of Proverbs as there is days in the month. Chapter a day goes a long ways to making one wise. But the theme that goes throughout all those chapters is our relationship with God. And to give us His Spirit to wisdom and how to live according to those. And so one of the things we're called to do, men and women, is to live in light of that Word. And I made reference earlier to Mary, the mother of Jesus. That's one of the things that is remarkable about her is how much Scripture she knew. When she sings her song there in Luke chapter 1, it's just like she's quoting the Old Testament. She's piecing it together because it was written on her heart. Is it any surprise then that she's the one that raised Jesus? But is it any surprise then, because that's what God said to be doing in Deuteronomy, to raise your children in the way they should go, is to speak of God's Word when you rise up and when you lie down, when you sit at the table and when you're walking along the way and all through life. That's His instruction to us. I hope that as we are going through life, that we are not just every once in a great while taking in God's Word, but that we are taking in God's Word daily, so that there's enough intake that it overflows out in our words and in our actions, right? That's how we exemplify this. When we open our mouth, out comes wisdom. On our tongue is the law of kindness. And I thought on that. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? The law of kindness. But what fulfills the law? Love. Love, to desire God's best for someone else. And so here we see in this law of kindness, it's not just a legalism and using the law as a weapon, but there is also this kindness. It's the same word for God's loving kindness and mercy, that His mercy endures forever. And I told myself I wasn't going to use my mom as an example all the way through this, but I'm going to use my mom again for an example. In that, my mom, you towed the line. But she was a woman of mercy as well. Had compassion on me in my weaknesses, but I still towed the line. Amen. God bless you. I'm still afraid of my mom. And I still know she loves me. But there's things that I don't do, even though I'm a 50-year-old adult, because mom said not to. There's no other reason. And it's kept me out of trouble. Because there is wisdom. And on her lips is the law of kindness. My mom did something that was really odd for her day, she said. I just grew up, this is the way mom was. But mom let me ask a lot of questions, and she answered a lot of questions. And my granddad, he was like, why do you let him talk back to you like that? She says, he's not. He really just is asking because he wants to know. Because my mom wanted me to know why those were her laws. Now, there were times when it was hurry up and do this, and it was do this. And she knew the difference because my mom knew her son. But I think about how I am today, and I think that act of kindness on my mom to answer those questions when I was young, so that I knew that God's laws, her rules, had a reason. They weren't just to take out the phone. They weren't just because she said so. But there was a reason for my protection and out of her love. And even if I didn't always understand the reason, I understood her heart. And I think that's vital for us in our relationship with God. There's a lot of His laws. We won't understand why He made them that way. But if we know Him, we'll understand His heart. And we'll trust that. What did I do with my Bible? Oh my goodness. So there is so much in this. And I just got two verses into it, and I'm going to run out of time at this rate. But we see the wisdom. We see how she Well, in verse 27 is kind of a summary of that. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. But watching over the ways of her household, and you can kind of get that picture. You know, she's aware of what's going on. You know, the whole picture of mom has eyes in the back of her head, right? But the words there speak of a caravan driver who is watching the caravan going through hostile country, as one who watches and makes sure everything is aligned and everything is still well throughout the caravan. And I think then you can kind of see that picture then as one who is, because something that stands out in this description is it's a mom who's got a lot going on. Whether, you know, she's got her job, she's got her family, and there's all the different components of family where she's looking out for the older generation, she's looking out for the younger generation, she's looking out for employees, looking out for her husband, and also including herself, and all those pieces, and she's watching all of it, minding all of it, making sure they stay in the way, stay in the path. And that's pretty challenging, as my mom will tell you, because once they become adults, they start making their own decisions. And when I chose my career and moved away, it was a big deal for mom. She was not super happy about me moving to South Dakota and eventually, you know, parts farther. But you know, there was that point in which she said, I've raised you in the way. I know God goes with you. I'll pray in that regard. And she did. She released me in that way to go and to do. And I really appreciated that. And yeah, there were the stumbles and falls along the way. But I come back to that picture, though. That's still part of watching the caravan, isn't it? Mindful of those of their ways, was still checking in, making sure, you know. But that part of the caravan was taking off on its own path. But she still trusted that it would mind itself because she had set it on the right path in the first place. She'd set me on the right path in the first place. And as God would work it out, he brought me back around. And now I live an hour away from where mom is. And she still thinks that's too far, but she's resigned herself that Prairie Grove is where God wants me to be. And I'm thankful for that. And that's where the next section here really rises up. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. All these things as she has done. And I think it's to pause for a second here and say, that's a lot of things. And it's like, it's not humanly possible. And it's not. Which is why we lean into Christ for our failings. And we lean into His Spirit for His enablement. Because that's really what God wants us to do. Whether you're looking at this description of the godly woman, or you're looking at Ephesians 5 where husbands are told to lay down their lives for their wife, or you're looking at 1 Peter when he tells women or tells wives to respect and honor their husbands, and whatever those dynamics are, he knows it's beyond what is humanly possible so that we will run to him for help. When he says to love your enemy as yourself, he knows that is humanly possible, impossible, so that we will run to him and say, you help me, God. And I need the mercy of Christ because I fail in that. And that is the dynamic, what's going on here. And that, my friends, is one of the most important lessons we can teach the next generation, is not to put on the mask and the bluster that we've got it together when we don't. but to model for the next generation the humility before them and before God that we don't have it all together. Amen. And that we find our strength and our identity not in our ability to look good, but in Christ being good. You see the difference? That's the most important lesson to pass on to the next generation. And it involves asking forgiveness sometimes, both of God and of others, and knowing that what we do right because God empowered us to. And what we do wrong, we ask God for forgiveness and ask others for forgiveness and find our strength to continue on in Christ. And that's why verse 28 says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed." And, you know, you've heard it too, you know, you show respect, stand up. And there's definitely a time and place where that took place. But I can tell you the most important rising up the children do is get up and help. To get up and help and do. And that's what... And I've gotten to a place in my life where I don't come home often enough, apparently. Because my mom used to always have a list for things of me to do when I came home. But now my brother lives there, and so he gets the list. And when I come home, you know what my mom wants me to do? Just be with her. It's like, "Mom, I can go work." "No, just be here." And I, at first, it just drove me crazy because of all those years of, "Mom, I got to get these things done." But now she's like, "No, just be here." And that's a part of that as well. We have to get up and go be there. And I know some folks, this hurts because they don't have that opportunity anymore. And yet, we probably know some folks that aren't getting that who could be. So we can go be there. You know? We got some shut-ins or some widowers or widows. Or, you know, just be there. And rise up and call her blessed. Husband also, he praises her. And this is where one of the preachers I listened to this week, some of you may have heard it as well, was talking about honor your mother and father. For this is the commandment that comes with a promise. And he brought out, you know, not all of them feel that honorable. But that's not what that word is calling for, is for us to reciprocate. That command is calling for us to be the first move. To show worth, to show value to them. And, you know, if you're a kid, then, you know, there's also some obedience and honoring that authority. But we never outgrow showing value to them. Amen. Regardless of who they have been. Because again, none of us have been perfect. But God ascribes value to us as His image bearers, if nothing else. And so we start there. But then also, as we see these giving praise, giving blessed, it also is in what is in our words. Are we normally critical or are we normally blessing? As parents, as young people, are we normally critical or are we normally blessing? Because the reality is this is calling for, there's a time to correct and to put back on the straight and narrow. But we're called to bless. We're called to kindness. We're called to mercy. And so I hope that's what we're known for. I hope that's what we're known for. And And that's what is going on here. Listen, as the husband praises her, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. He sees the virtues and he sees the values, not the shortcomings, not the failings. And the last little section here is just words of wisdom that is perspective. Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. You know, there's a place, that word charm is just graciousness. And it has its place. It is both a virtue, but it can also be a vice. Right? There can be affirmation, and then there's flattery, right? And we know the difference. And he says, so watch that. But especially for those that are younger and are not yet picking spouses, but could be looking for spouses and things like that. Remember, charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And that to be our guide. That graciousness, that charm, it's good. There's nothing wrong with it. Beauty, same way. But there's secondary, primary. Not just saying that they're a Christian, but one who actually walks in the fear of the Lord. That being in the primary. And then flip it backwards. But are we that in the eyes of others? Are we just flattery? Are we just a facade? Or are we one who walks in the fear of the Lord? Are we walking in the beginning of wisdom? Because here's verse 31. It says, give her the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. It will show as we make those decisions. There was a lot I just threw at you. It felt like the shotgun effect, didn't it? There was a whole lot that the Proverbs threw at us today. But the reality is that it shows. And yesterday, I participated in a funeral for a friend of mine's mom. Hazel Grace was a woman of, I didn't know her, but I know her son. And what was fun was hearing the stories. Oh, there were lots of stories about this lady. I'd heard some of them before, but it was fun to hear them again. But that verse really stood out in my head as I was sitting through that, is that her works were her praise. The fruit of her hands were revealed. And what was really awesome was there was no doubts, there was no concern, where is she now? They knew. Her works, her fruit had produced that surety. She's with the Lord. Even after dementia had run its ravages through her life and her family, looking back, there was no doubt she's with the Lord. I have to say, those are the best kinds of funerals to be in. The worst kind are the ones where you don't know. Or you know they didn't. That's just the sinking worst feeling. And that's why the first thing on our prayer list is salvation. We pray for salvation. And that salvation would be evident. Because we need Jesus. We fall short of that perfect standard he has. And so this morning we're going to have a song of invitation. And the invitation is to run to Jesus. Cry out for his Holy Spirit to give us new life through trusting in Jesus Christ, the perfect sinless life, the crucifixion, and the resurrection. praying for salvation. Maybe you've already been saved. And maybe there's some areas the Holy Spirit touched on today, because again, it was like a shotgun. There was a whole bunch of instruction in this, wasn't there? Some areas where we need Christ to apply His Word and to help us change these areas. Because it's impossible. We can't do it on our own. We need Him to help us in that. But whatever the Spirit is prompting today, will you stand and will you respond as He leads today?